Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The GigCast. Welcome to GigCast 185. Well, this isn't actually GigCast 185. You'll be hearing that in just a minute. We recorded it Wednesday night on TalkShoe. That's right. It was the third Wednesday of the month. That means that we had at 10:30 Eastern Time, we went live on TalkShoe to record the GigCast. So next month, if you want to join us, please do. The link will be at thegigcast.com. Or do search for the GigCast on TalkShoe. You'll find the countdown timer there. All right. One more thing before we get into the show. I got an email / Skype message from Jonah Gregory wanting me to let you guys know that issue -2, that's right, -2 of Dead Man Holiday came out from Colin Panetta. He's the guy that did X Heroes. You can find that at deadmanholiday.com. And issue 4 of Here There Be Robots is now available through Indie Planet. And he just wanted me to let you guys know that he didn't get it to me in time for the actual recording of the show. So luckily he got it to me before I did the editing. So, okay, well, without further ado, let's now take a listen to the live GigCast recorded Wednesday, March 18th, over on TalkShoe. So, folks, I'll see you in the show, and then I'll see you next week. Until then, yeah, enjoy your webcons.
Recorded live.
That's right, live and in person, or as I say in the podcast world, live to the hard drive. This is JT Shea here with the GigCast 185. It's the third Wednesday of the month, so that means, of course, we've got the live studio audience. Well, if you consider TalkShoe live and not really an audience because they're actually dialed in so they can talk, so it's more of a collaborative effort in the webcomic world, GigCast going on here. Anyway, Scott is not with us tonight. He is hard at work revamping his webcomic and had a bad day at work, so he decided to beg off because he'd just be a curmudgeon in the corner like he is in any way normally, but it's all good. We've got a good group of people here with us in the chat room and on TalkShoe. We've got Dungeon Warden. We've got Festworks. We've got Miss Skakelski. We've got Zortik, we've got Nick Nitro, we've got Darth Skeptical, who I've never seen before, but he's in the chat room, and welcome. We've got Jim Thorpe. Again, Jim, did you put in your chat room what you do? Yes, he's a Sucker Boys, suckerboys.com. Welcome, Jim, another webcomic artist. Welcome, welcome. We've got Sketch Samurai, who's got a DeviantArt account, mred.deviantart.com. We got Axonite, which is another guy from the that other sci-fi podcast, webcomic podcast over there. You might have heard of it. It's Station.
Yeah, yeah.
1990 Pod Warp 1999, right?
Yes.
Part, yep. And yes. And he goes, and he also does Station V3. And to go back in time, Festworks does that other webcomics podcast, Webcomic Beacon. He has to deal with Tanya on a daily basis, so good luck with him. Welcome, Fess. You know, she's a handful. I don't know how you keep your – do you even bother trying to keep the clean tag, or is that just out the window when you're talking with her?
Well, next week is episode 69.
Oh, and we have wonderful.
Had on before, and it's going to be a nightmare to edit. I don't care too much if one or two swear words get in there, but if it's going to be a whole lot of questionable content, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I feel your pain. I'm laughing at you, but I feel your pain.
See, that's why you just got to do what I do, which is, you know, who cares?
Well, the Nick Nitro with his podcast, Good, Bad, and the Geeky, they've had some moments you can
yes,
say.
We have. Yes, we have. I mean, who cares if you just scare away half the listeners with your fancy cuss words? You know?
Yeah, that's right. Also, before
and
we get...
again, I do find censoring beeps pretty hilarious because then you have to use your imagination as a listener.
That's true. Like you've seen those Sesame Street clips on YouTube. But besides the point, before we get too far, I want to mention, of course, Kate Sekelsky does ThinkSync. And then Mark Mekas, I mentioned Zortik, did I not? I don't know. And then EDI-PI as well, his webcomics as well as a writer for Abby's agency. And if there's anybody else I missed, we'll catch them at the end. That's just the way it works around here. So what I wanted to talk about today, before we get into what these people are here to push on you, is three weekends ago, or is it 2 weekends ago now? I think it was 2 weeks ago, whatever, MegaCon happened, and we're lucky enough to have with us on the line today, of course, Mark Mekas, who is a MegaCon standard, as well as Nick Nitro, who is also a Night Gig MegaCon standard, so we can at least talk about what kind of time we had there. It's been a lot of fun, and then we're going to talk to Ms. Kakelski and what she's thinking about this whole webcomic weekend up in New England she gets to go to next week, or this weekend coming up, so that should be fun. So we'll start with Mr. Mark Mekas. Sir, what was your thoughts on this year's MegaCon overall? How'd that go for you?
I thought it was pretty cool. I talked a little bit during the interview last week, yep. But it was a very different MegaCon, it seemed like. You know, it was a lot more, it seemed like more focused on the artists than ever before. So that was really pretty exciting.
Yeah, there really wasn't any huge big sci-fi or comic book movies coming out that they were pushing hard this year, I don't think. I mean, there's been a couple that came up, but no. Not that, you know, you're right, though. This year's MegaCon was a little more Artist Alley seemed bigger.
They had a few Battlestar Galactica people there, but it seemed like it was very much an artist show, which was great.
Yeah. Of course, MegaCon, although it's a good mix of a lot of different genres, being it movies and anime and comics and stuff like that. There's a much stronger anime vibe there than any of the other stuff. And I noticed that when I actually went out and walked around, which I really didn't do a lot of this year, there were a lot of people that I didn't see that had not seen come by our area. There were a lot of people that weren't actually going through the Artist Alley that I thought I would have seen. You know, usually you see all the costumes sitting at your table. This year, not so much. I actually had to go out and see a bunch of the what was going on out there. It's a little different.
True. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, but anyway, it was.
Oh, we had the panel. The panel was great.
Yeah, I was very happy with that, and I'd like to send out a big thank you out to Craig Stepp. He does the Technorama podcast. He's the one that lent me that digital audio recorder, which allowed me to get that great audio for the panel. I thought it recorded really well, and I was very happy with the outcome. And of course, I'd like to thank all the people that actually were able to come, that actually were on the panel for us. We got a good cross section of webcomic experience out there, and I think if we had more than 40-50 minutes that we had, we could have been there for a couple hours easy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great thought. I thought it was. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've heard the panel. I was, it didn't occur to me at the time, but I'm thinking that there might have been some plants out there for some of those questions geared towards one or two of our guests. I think they were trying. It worked. It did. The person in question handled it very, very nicely, and it. Thought we had got some good information out there.
We had some really thought, you know, I mean, the questions, you know, may have been focused, but they, you know, everybody kind of had some great opinions on the stuff and, you know, some great, a nice variety of input.
It was, and there wasn't any dead air, so to speak. Everybody had something to say. Everybody had their fair share of the microphone, I think. And it, I'm looking forward to next year when we maybe be a little bit more focused and hopefully maybe have it a little bit more organized beforehand.
Sure.
Because that was a kind of a last minute, what are we going to do? But
these things are always a learning experience. You learn and get better next time.
Exactly. It's all good. And, of course, Mr. Nick Nitro drove down once again from Midland, America, Ohio. How was your how was your overall weekend, MegaCon weekend? If you subtract the part that your parents were.
Well, you know, overall, I mean, at the time, I was really frustrated. I mean, looking back, I had a lot of fun. I mean, the ride up and down was a lot of fun. Next time, obviously, I won't do that. I mean, it was initially started out like just a guy's trip out, me and my dad's and bonding time with my old man. But and I love my mom dearly, but we all started getting on each other's nerves, I think. I mean, to be fair, I was not being the nicest person to eat, probably, too, so... that aside, I think I had a lot of fun, and for me, it was probably the best MegaCon I've had. So
yeah, I think overall experience wise, I think this one was we're finally getting it right. Our fourth year there, and I think we're finally getting to the swing of things and how to both maximize our table time and our away from table time and everything. I think it's working out really well.
Well, one of the things I've noticed when I did Mid-OhioCon this last year was I didn't walk around too much because, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but most conventions are, at this point, to me, sort of the same. Like, you go around Artist Alley, but it's usually pretty quick, or unless I don't have enough time to do so beforehand, I still miss out on some people's tables and their stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, I'm not missing out on anything else beyond the Artist Alley. So I don't go out of my way to walk around too much.
Sure.
Of course, you know, what you were saying though was really cool though. None of the cosplayers was coming down our area. Like, I was expecting to see tons of Dr. Horrible people, and they were all on the other side of the convention center. So that was bizarre.
Yeah, I guess, you know, again, the people that are going there for the anime and costume stuff, there maybe some of them are interested in the comic artists and Artist Alley, but overall, I mean, I think they're more focused on what they're there for, hanging out with their friends and dressing up in goofy costumes and eating Pocky. Yeah. I think it's pretty much what it boils down to.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. But anyways, it was a great experience. We got some great interviews. Hopefully you guys enjoyed them 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago, so it's been... Jeez, my brain. And hopefully next year it'll be even better. But coming up this next weekend is the probably something I think has been a long time coming, is actually a convention which is basically all web comics. It's actually, I wouldn't even call it a convention. I think it's more of a giant web comic meetup. I think it's pretty much what it is up there in Western Massachusetts, down by the Connecticut border. And I know that Katie Skakowski, Think Sync, is going to be heading there. And I also saw in the chat, but he's gone now, but Steal This Comic is going to be there as well. So that should be cool. So, Katie, what are your plans for this? Do you have anything solid that you know is going to be going on that you're going to want to do? Or is it kind of a go there and see what happens type of thing?
Well, I think just yesterday they released the official panel and event list, which it's pretty much pure gold, start to end, and there's two rooms, so not too much of a conflict between making decisions on what to attend and what not to attend. So bunch of stuff I'm really looking forward to. The webcomics Not So Weekly Live should be good. And then, of course, I don't think we may or may not be there in time for the standard print versus web debate. They've all got all sorts of stuff going on. So
yeah, well, we're gonna have to
take it all in.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to deputize you as an official GigCast correspondent and make you take notes so you can report back how things went.
All right, I should be twittering throughout the weekend.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I got a feeling.
Oh my god.
What's that?
As well, I assume my partner in crime, who's in the chat room right now, Sketch Samurai, who is also Sketch_Samurai on Twitter. So follow him or me, Sikelski, at Twitter.
Excellent. I think I will. I'll definitely be keeping my laptop on and binging all through the night, because I think I had a feeling Twitter's going to be just on fire with what. Because I'm pretty much anybody who's in webcomics nowadays, usually, well, the bigger names anyway, are on Twitter. You know, you can follow them. I'm following most of the people that you go through the list of the people that are going to be Webcomic Weekend, and I think I'm following most of them on Twitter. So that should be a handy-dandy mini thing to go there. Excellent. Since you've seen the what panels are going to be there, are there any that you circled that you have to be at? I know there's only two rooms at a time, but is there any there that really caught your eye?
I don't like. We're probably going to hang out in the panel room the whole time, but I don't know. I guess all of them.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I'm not trying to pick and choose my schedule on the spot here. But it also looks like they have in one of the other rooms something that sounds pretty interesting. But it says Infinite Canvas Post-it Jam. But from the sounds of it, it's going to be people sketching on Post-it notes and sticking it all over the walls.
Wow, that's... That could be like pretty interesting, though. Yeah, that's something you can go back in later and take a look at. You don't have to sit there and watch. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But a lot of good panels. There's a panel with Zach from Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal and the guys from Cyanide and Happiness called Comics Without Characters. So that sounds something I've never seen pop up on a panel list before. So that should be pretty good as well.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I actually had a chance to go to this, and I had to beg off. It was too close to MegaCon to make it economically feasible. You know, we could have pulled it off, but I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm from Massachusetts, and if it was over in Eastern Mass, where all my family is and whatnot, and I could like fly in and stay with them and whatnot, and drive in, it didn't work out that way. So, but that would have been very cool to go see. Because is this the only really? I mean, are there any other cons you guys know about which are really Webcomic Central? I mean, has anybody heard of any other in the works or one that I've done before?
I remember at least in past years, Kineticon, which is also up in New England, having quite a few webcomic stuff. And I think that may have been organized by webcomics people. It wasn't strictly webcomics, though. So,
right.
That, and I guess it's next week in England, the web and mini comics thing in London.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's webcomics, too.
That's been going on for a couple of years, hasn't it? I believe that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's over the other side of the world. I mean, that doesn't really count, does it? Yes. It
can. Let's go with no.
Yeah, it counts. Ooh, Nerdcore Rising is going to be there. Also, I'm looking in the chat room there. There's a bunch of people talking about what's going on. You know, Sketch Samurai has mentioned about Nerdcore Rising. He goes, if he has it his way, you guys aren't leaving panel room A, so I guess you'll be camping out there.
I'll drag him out at some point. Me
too. Very cool, very cool. So, is there anything else going on out there in the world of webcomics people want to talk about? I really had nothing majorly planned for this show. This is really just going to be a whoever anyone wants to, whatever wants to bring up or talk about, more than welcome to. Anybody? No? See, this is where Scott should be here. But he's all pissy, so just don't even worry. That's fine.
Well, I liked Scott Kurtz's shirt, "Doug Print is Dead." I thought that was, or "I'm Killing Newspapers." I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where was that posted?
Yeah, I think it was 2 days ago. I just remember, of all people, DJ Kaufman said, "Kurtz nailed it on this one. It's hilarious." And I clicked on the link, and it was to the shirt.
Was he wearing it?
Yeah, it was funny.
A shirt he designed, it was selling, or what?
No, it's a shirt that Kurt's designed. It's like "I'm Killing Newspapers," and underneath it, it says PVP.com.
Oh, very cool. That is cool.
I thought it was pretty dead on the nose, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, just talking to people that are still trying to get their comics in the newspapers, I'm like, yeah, all right, you go give it a shot, but... it's not...
Yeah, wasn't there someone who released an article that actually said, this is how you get into the newspaper? It's like, seriously, why would you want to? But
well, it's still the dream. I mean, people, I know my age and whatnot, grew up, the comics were, the newspaper were for comics. Comics were the newspaper. You know, that's where you want to read a comic, that's what it was. And if you liked it enough, then maybe you went and saw, oh, look, they put out a collection, a collection to buy the book. I was not I wasn't a comic book kid. I was a newspaper comic guy growing up. And it was, in the heyday of Garfield and then Bloom County and course, all the old classics were still in the paper, the ones that are still there that are being drawn by the great-great-grandkids of the people that created them in the 1750s. You know, but
that's just isn't the way. Isn't it true that newspaper comics essentially helped save newspapers at one point?
Or yeah.
I think so.
Don't you think that we probably need that again? I mean, they keep crushing basically all the comics that are in there with ads, make it a small section. And to make it a bigger section, I mean, that was the only reason I ever bought the Sunday paper was to see the comics.
I agree completely. I mean, if they think what they need to do is, but the problem is the way that saved the papers before is that you'd have four or five papers in a town, in a city, right? But only the comics were exclusive. Like this one comic was only exclusive to, say, the Daily Mirror. So you would buy the Daily Mirror to get that because you're reading that one comic. But nowadays, you want to read that comic, sure, you could buy the Daily Mirror or you go to www.bozoandthebear.com and you can see the comic. Or you go to Go Comics or the Universal website or the United Artists website or the King's Features website, and there's the comic. So there's no real incentive if you are connected electronically in any way, shape, or form to actually buy the paper that has the comic in it for the comic. And that's the problem. The problem isn't that the comics aren't in the papers; that the comics are everywhere else. But that's
if they didn't update online faster than they came out in the paper, like say maybe online came a week or two later, then it's like the you get to see the comic before it comes out. I don't know, maybe some gimmick.
Well, it's kind of like what Doggy Doug does. I mean, you can get the comic he posts online are a couple weeks behind of the ones you get in the paper for the Brian Anderson. So that's I've noticed. I mean, that's something I've noticed. I don't know if it's because the paper is just my paper slow down here, or if that's the way he has it designed, or that's the way his publisher wants him to do it. But that's the way it is. But at the same time, if you look at all the other comics that are in a lot more papers than Brian's are, like the Doonesburys and the Dagwood Bumstead, whatever the name of that comic is nowadays, I don't even remember. Blondie, thank you. The Bumsteads, whatever. They're in the one of the papers, the one that's available online that day. So it's really kind of. But then again, they're on a syndicate website where Brian Anderson's on his own WordPress blog. So it's
Look at the rest of the newspaper content too. The news, the TV listings, movie listings. All of that stuff can be found faster online.
And more accurately.
Yeah. So, you don't have to wait for the morning edition when you can hop online and check it out right away. So comics by themselves, I don't think they're going to have the ability to pull that to save that sinking ship.
No, it really has flip-flopped, like you said, back in the day when the comics helped save the newspapers. Or at least helped one newspaper win out over others. Nowadays, the comics are nice to read if you have a paper lying around somewhere, but I don't really know anybody these days that actually buys a paper specifically because a comic he wants to read is in it.
Not specifically, but it's still the first page I go to.
Well, yeah, exactly. But if the newspaper that you're reading your comic in, say you love reading Leo. Right, that's your favorite comic, and they decide that Leo is too weird for the people in their town, and they pull Leo out of the paper. Would that make you stop buying the paper, or would you? Because you can still read Leo online. That wouldn't keep you from reading Leo, but at the same time, because your paper.
I still buy the paper.
Yeah, exactly. The paper. Paper's more of a habit.
Turned it for the ad.
What's that?
Maybe just Sunday for the ads and coupons.
Yeah, the paper seems to be more of a habit. If you're in the habit of sitting down with the paper over a cup of coffee or the Sunday paper, especially when you come home and you go out and you pick up a Dunkin' Donuts 12-pack of donuts and a nice big coffee and sit down in the living room and thumb through the magazine section and whatnot. It's kind of a habit thing. But as our habits change, that's going
to
be, what's that?
Also, if you're trying to house train your dog.
Yes. Oh, also, if your kids are doing an art project and they got, you know, and they want to, you know, like paint paper something, machine. You just need different drop cloths. I mean, I the other day my son wanted to do, my daughter was working on she was making a fake newspaper for a class project, and I've got, you know, she was cutting out articles that she printed on the computer and was pasting them on these big pieces of paper, and I had this, you know, I've given her the spray glue. I'm like, well, put on some newspaper. And she goes, huh? We had no newspaper. You're like, oh, okay. So I go and grab, you know, some plastic bags and open them up or not. But yeah, that paper is more of a staple growing up for art projects and drop cloths and
expensive graphic paper.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't tell you how many birthday presents I've given and received when I was a kid wrapped in the Sunday comics. You know, it's colorful.
The thing is, what part do you use to wrap the presents in?
The Sunday comics, because they're color. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the risque personal ads is a joke.
Yeah, you know, that just boils down to changing societies as well. I mean, back when I was in, you know, back in the dark ages when I was in middle school and whatnot, where you got your textbooks and, of course, you had to get back at the end of the year, you'd make book covers out of the paper bags from the grocery store. These days, you got to actually go to the store to buy something and ask for paper, otherwise you don't get them. So it's things change. Like, what do you mean buy book covers? I'm not going to buy book covers. What are you talking about? Yeah. But
at this point, probably the one thing that local papers should really focus on is local news that really no one else is going to cover, at least not professionally. You might have a blog, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and the only way, and the thing is, the way those type of papers, because we all have those, community papers we get free in our mailboxes and on our driveways, and they're all supported directly with advertising, and that's, you know. And it's funny because you'll see a big article about a great new way to shingle your house, and the next page is a big half page ad for the very company they interviewed about it. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's local community news, but at the same time,
I mean more like a local daily paper versus some of the story, you know, local stories that, you know, TV news we maybe give a minute to, but not much. Or maybe not even bother.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, certainly not going to be national stories. And
the human interest stories and that sort of.
No, not human interest.
Well, yeah. A combination of.
Well, the real death knell to this whole newspaper thing is coming along nicely with the Sony e-reader, the Kindle, and, you know, the rumors flying that Apple is coming out with a reader soon. And you know that once Apple gets into the game, having a reader, that newspapers is that's just one more nail in the coffin right there. I mean, that's
well. Then who's going to put the content out there?
Well, we're going to have to bail them out then.
if the local newsroom isn't there to cover it, who's putting?
Well,
on the
sure,
news?
You'll have the local newsroom, but the paper media is what I'm talking about is going to be gone, because eventually, I mean, within 5-10 years, we're all going to have some type of e-reader which fits in our pocket and opens up to book size that is always connected
plugged
to
the back of our brain.
Yeah, exactly, just right in there. You know. There was, I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the show or not last time or when we did this, but with the whole, that XKCD that was a few weeks ago, that the guy had a Kindle and he didn't use it for books or anything. He basically, you know, with, cause it always had the cell service, and you can reach Wikipedia and we could travel with it. And basically he scraped it away and it said, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide. But that's pretty much what we're going to have. We're going to have an always connected electronic pad to catch up with the news, get news alerts, get local news, get weather, get basically the internet in your pocket. There's not going to be a reason for newspapers.
It's not going to keep the bums warm on the streets, though.
Jeez. No.
What am I going to use for campfire now? Accelerant.
I know. And what are they going to wrap the fish and chips in? And you know, it's just, what's going on?
Well, here's one idea. I mean, I heard there was a guy on the Daily Show that was talking about this, whatever, and saying, basically suggesting micropayments or a subscription, like you pay a subscription online. But the argument is you can find a lot of these stories elsewhere for free.
Yeah.
But a newspaper could easily have their own website or whatever, and of course, what are they mostly going to do? Well, it's going to be an ad-supported website.
Right.
I've seen this in the past. I don't see why it should not work these days, but basically ad-free subscription service for a nominal fee for anyone who's really serious should work, you know? Wouldn't it work just to get rid of all the main ads and have an ad-free site for subscribers?
Well, I mean, that's been a...
Some newspapers are looking into that.
Yep, yeah. And that has been a model that a lot of people have tried with their websites. You know, they can get ad-free versions of... I remember when GPF had their ad-based site, and you can become a member, and you get the ad-free site. You know, my old General Protection fall to that funny comic that got all serious, and I think it's still out there. I don't know. Or did it finish? I haven't looked at it in forever. Okay. But, yeah.
Make up a rumor about it.
What's that?
Make up a rumor about it. Just make up something.
Oh, my God. He bashed his head in a skiing accident. We don't know if he's alive or dead. No one's letting us know.
It's true. I read about that.
Yeah. Yeah, just a, sorry.
Now you've got confirmation.
I get all the gossip from my wife,
already.
So I don't know.
Wait, I got it. Okay, so you're online,
Chuck.
Okay? They have their sites online, and you know how it says continued on page 9 to see the rest of the story? They should be like, for 25 cents, pay now, and you can read the rest of the story.
Oh, you could be like the New York Times. Yeah, wonderful. There are a lot of websites that do that. It's really annoying when you're trying to research something. You know.
Do they actually do that?
Oh, yeah. Here's the first three paragraphs. If you want the rest of the story, you can join or you can pay this much money.
Watch a two-minute ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Chuck Rolls is now with us. He's, of course, the man behind the Gods of Arcalon. How are you doing there, Chuck?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, just wonderful. We're just talking. Just doing the easy gig cast for the month.
Yeah.
We have no real agenda, nothing. We're talking about, are you going to the Webcomics weekend? It's up in your neck of the woods, a couple hours north.
That's this weekend?
Yeah.
No.
No. Oh, okay. I guess when you...
That's in Massachusetts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just on the Massachusetts-Connecticut border there in Western Mass.
Yeah. One of these days I'm going to do those things. I've been so busy. I'm trying to finish the story, you know?
Yeah, you've been working on that for years.
I know.
It's amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
Two issues. This issue and the next issue, and that's it.
And then there's got to be such a stink that it's gone. Or will it be gone?
It won't be
dun,
gone.
Dun, dun.
I'm hoping to get some people to contribute short stories so that I can take a little bit of a vacation.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But I got to put something out there.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, so we've discussed the death of newspapers, but where does that leave comics? Mm-hmm. What?
The daily strips overall suck. I mean, I've tried to read daily strips, and they just don't have any sort of pizzazz anymore, except for the ones that are basically, you know, almost web comics anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but somebody took a little chance on them.
Yep.
But I mean, like, you know, Dilbert, I guess, is still kind of funny. But he's kind of removed from the whole Office thing a little bit, so he doesn't quite get it anymore.
Right, sure.
You know, and then Dagwood, like you said, you know, it's just lowest common denominator humor, which it never works. Yeah, so there you go. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's basically what we're saying. Where do comics go? I mean, obviously they're on the web, which is great, but does that mean when they're... And there are no more newspapers or that many newspapers to support a comics page. Does that mean the money then moves to the web? Or does that mean the money just disappears? Or what's going to happen?
That means our neighbors finally stop saying, oh, you do a comic? You should submit it to the newspaper.
They'll never stop. Do you know, I say that about my
newspapers,
comic.
They'll have to stop.
My mom has suggested a few times over the last few years that I should send my a comic to the newspaper. It's like, have you looked at my comic? Can you imagine them trying to make room for a, you know, 300-page story in the newspaper?
But they can just put it where the classifieds used to be. You know, it's not a problem.
That's right. It's not that hard.
That's funny.
A drawing from life would be perfect for a newspaper.
Yeah, I got to put that back up online. I found a file that had them all in there. I have to put them back up for these days.
Great.
Were they all on Drunk Duck that one time? I think I've gone through your whole archive.
Yeah.
Okay, then I've seen them all. I still think you should.
I liked that. That was a good track.
It was.
I said what?
Oh, so you need to put a what? I said you need to give the guy one eye again. That's all I'm saying. It'll be a little more edgy. Come on, put it out there.
That's right. I'm just going to change his name to Penis, and that'll be it.
Well, in that case, you can let him have two eyes, as long as you...
You know, I designed him to be H.L. Famadorian from the Kurt Vonnegut books.
Right.
And it didn't occur to me at the time that that's what Kurt Vonnegut was describing, was basically a penis.
you're like a police sketch artist going,
years later,
okay.
They're like, oh, one eye.
You're doing like a police sketch artist of him. You're going to join the song, and then guess this? Hey, is this who you're looking? Whoa. Yeah, that's not right.
Oops. Oh, well. At least I got into a daily paper for a year, and they got to look at that.
Say, no one caught that at the Leader?
I know.
Oh, well.
How come all my fans are ladies and very effeminate men? I don't understand. But anyway.
There you go.
It's got a tweet from Mr. Riot. He let people know that his comic is updating regularly again. Over at Old Dying Kitty, over on Night Gig. Gotta love the name of his studio. Yeah, you know, we go, what do you want? We'll set you up over here. Yeah, olddyingkitty.com. Perfect. But the path is now updating again live, starting last night. So check it out over at nightgig.com/olddyingkitty. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, XMX
coming in. Yeah, you don't have to worry about people stealing your URL when you have that kind of thing. So that's good.
That's the reason why I have like Dribble for Kids, because no one would ever steal that. No one, there's no purpose to.
What does it mean? I never ask you, what does that mean exactly?
I got the, it's sort of, the original title of the comic back when it was an article for some Ninja Turtles fan site was called Now More Pointless Dribbles, Pointless Senseless Dribble for Kids. Yeah, you know, for kids. And my friend, every time he would design a logo for me, he would just take out that really long title and just put Dribble for Kids. And I just, that bothered me forever. But finally, you know, I was like, well, it initially sounds like it doesn't make any sense. But no one can ever, it's like the devil's panties. No one would ever steal that ever. And I'm horrible with titles, so I said, you know what? Just shortening it to that way is great, and there you go. Because initially, the whole "yeah, you know" for kids is. Have you ever seen the Hudsucker Proxy?
No.
The whole thing is about the creation of the hula hoop, but Tim Robbins goes up to this boardroom of all these like old men who are mad at him, and he draws a circle on a piece of paper. He goes, "This is my idea." And I had the boys, you know, downstairs work something up for, you know, it's for kids. Yeah, you know, for kids. And that's sort of where it comes from. But,
all right.
Eh.
Sure. It works. I knew there was a story behind it somewhere.
Well, I'm working on rebooting the comic right now in a way. So there is a way of kind of like making that fit into, there is a reason why it's called that. You know, not because initially it started out as a gag day strip where I had no idea where the heck I was going, and the title was just the title, and now I actually have a reason for having the title be called that. So, at least in terms of the comic, the article had a reason why it was called that, but you know, the article's lost forever, thank God. It was horrible.
Excellent. So, is there anything else going on out there, or are we going to call this short? I know there's going to be something else we can talk about, Webcomic World. We've only been going for 37 minutes or so. We got plenty of time.
You seen the GameSpot iPhone deal, speaking of?
No, I didn't hear. They got the GameSpot iPhone deal. What's up with that?
Yeah. They're getting a Keenspot application. They have right now. They have Marry Me on there. Zortik will hopefully be on there fairly soon. But yeah, you can now get Keenspot comics on your iPhone.
Is it a free app?
Free app or a
mighty cool.
Is it a free application, or is it you pay for it, or what's the deal?
I believe it's free. The application's free. Some of the comics are going to be free, and then I think some of them will be pay for download.
Excellent.
Of course, I don't have an iPhone, so I'm just kind of guessing.
It's such a weird. I mean, I know the iPhone is eventually going to become the standard, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's just one toy.
You know,
it's like you can't, it doesn't cross over to anything yet, right? I mean, you basically have to have an iPhone or an iTouch for this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, it seems just so odd to me, but then I've always been kind of a, I don't know, Macs are a little more expensive than they are useful. I don't know. That's always been my thing. But.
I agree with you, but when, like, for instance, and again, the whole podcast thing, look at all the different podcast players or MP3 players out there, and it's Apple and everybody else. You know, they see a niche and they expand on it until the niche becomes the standard, and then they've got this giant foothold in there that, you know, they set the standard. Unfortunately,
yeah, I know.
I mean, for the longest time,
I do have related webcomic news about iPhone because I read it the other day on Squiddy.net. He made an iPhone app for his comic that you can like zoom in on the panels and stuff like that.
Oh,
that's
cool.
All I know. Squiddy.net.
Squiddy.
Squiddy.
Squid, like a little squid. Like a little squid, Squiddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
I have no idea how it works or how you load it or how much it costs, if it costs anything, but it's always been a funny comic, so hopefully he's still funny. I haven't actually been reading his new one.
That's cool. No, it's just like we're saying, you know, this is where the digital, and wasn't it the rumor going around that Apple was talking with like DC and Marvel to set up their comics on a subscription type basis in advance of this new reader that they're working on, like wink wink nudge nudge in secret type thing.
Yeah, but wasn't that kind of at the same time as the whole click wheel?
No, this is something I heard. I literally heard this like either like at MegaCon or just before MegaCon. I'm talking like, you know, a month ago.
I think I may have seen something about that. I was thinking it was in reference to just buying things through iTunes.
But
the same way that you purchase a TV show or whatever, but I am quite possibly mistaken on that.
Yeah, but I think Chuck was trying to get at, you know, the iPhone screen sure is bigger than what the old iPods used to have, but still it's not big enough to really enjoy a piece of art like a web comic is supposed to be, you know, unless you're holding something that's at least paperback size, a little bit bigger than paperback, I really don't think you're going to get the enjoyment out of reading a comic on a screen like, you know, like that. If like the
kid depends on the comic,
be like a portable, even crappier if you can imagine Zuda.
Exactly.
Hey, did you guys see the TED talk about the guy who can, about they use basically existing components. It's a camera, a cell phone, an internet connection through the cell phone, and an LED projector, and they can make a touch screen on any flat surface.
I've heard of things like that, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like the guy had to use like marker caps on his fingers, different colors for each marker.
Right.
And it would be able to pinpoint where his finger was on the screen. But you can make the screen, I think they said, up to 17 or 20 inches wide.
That's really
and
cool.
Any flat surface in a regularly lit room.
I was
so
hearing,
like, you know, as long as you're not outside, you'd be able to see stuff.
I think it was a few years ago, they were talking about how on your iPod, there would be like a mini projector thing where you can actually like project with your movie or video on like a wall. I mean, literally be like, you know, a 50-inch widescreen TV projecting from your little iPod or something. You know, that sort of thing.
There's a cell phone coming out with that, actually.
Oh, really?
The only problem is the battery only lasts for 5 seconds.
Exactly.
Yep. I'd say give it 15 or 20 years before it's actually functional.
Mm-hmm. And by that time, we'll just be plugging them into our heads anyway and go directly to our nervous system, right into the brain, bypass the whole
video goggles.
bypass the old extrasensory stuff. Who needs the eyes and the ears? Just right into the old nerve center there. I know kung fu. Yeah.
And then civilization ends.
Yeah, pretty much. We all just atrophy. We're just lying on couches there, you know, intravenous drip for food and water, little catheters take care of illumination, and just, you know, no watching reruns of the Three Stooges direct beamed into our brains.
And then we'll shoot into space and let robots try to clean up the planet.
Yeah. And then come back 700 years later.
You guys sure this isn't an episode of Pod Warf? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes.
Yep.
It's all Wall-E. It's all Pixar.
You know, I hated
Wall-E.
You know what? I enjoyed Wall-E for the technical and the
visually stunning,
some of the humor and stuff, but the message, you know, blow me. Seriously. I mean, come.
I get enough of that with Fern Gully.
Okay, but what gets me is, you know, what really just sent me over the edge is that these people abandon the Earth because of their use up and throw away mentality, right? And, okay, they were supposed to be on this spaceship for how long? How many generations were they up there? Right, okay. And Wall-E goes down the garbage chute, and these giant Wall-E things, or Wall-E, or whatever the hell they are literally throwing tons of material out the back door constantly. They would have run out of ship in like maybe 20, maybe 15 years. They're not even recycling on their ship. I mean, that's the biggest thing about this whole going to the moon, going to the Mars, whatever. You got to recycle everything. There's no raw materials. It's like, oh, give
me the Wall ZX and Y were the armies that went and grabbed stuff to make the processing into new stuff for the people on the
ship. And at the end, they all went back with the cat in the hat's hat, right?
Yeah.
At the end, yeah. Jeez.
I guess I got how you could take a message away from it, but I totally didn't see it as a message movie. I saw it as a love story between two robots and possibly a Christ-like thing.
Right. There was the whole. I mean, there was sure the on the surface love story, but the whole underlying thing was don't use up the Earth. You know, that's what basically.
Oh, I think that depends. I guess I didn't take that away from it at all. I mean, I understand how you can, but I don't think that was the intention of the movie at all, really. I don't know. Like, when I watched the movie, I thought that the only thing that was truly alive was the robot. Everything else was dead, you know, or was dead inside until he interacted with it. Now, I mean, that's my interpretation. I mean, I understand the whole concept of, you know, it's a message movie, but I guess I totally didn't see that when I watched the movie at all.
And the whole thing.
So I didn't walk away going.
The whole thing was because of show tunes.
I don't know that because I hate Hello Dolly, and I thought that
you know,
was.
But you know what I'm really happy about is that they didn't use the part of Hello Dolly with frickin' Barbara Streisand. That's the only part of the movie that I was thankful for. Like they couldn't get her permission. It wasn't like left wing enough for her to use the. That's good. Just keep her out of it.
They probably didn't want to put an easily recognizable celebrity on the screen. I mean, I would see why they would want to veer away from that. I was surprised they even used real people because it was jarring against the computer.
Yeah, Fred Willard was the only human that Pixar has used so far. I mean, if you don't count the footage from Hello Dolly, but you know, it's just
right.
The fact that they used Fred Willard as the quote president / CEO of By and Large or whatever, that's kind of weird.
I was just happy that they showed somebody that enjoys show tunes being into women.
I found it to be an incredibly predictable, normal Pixar movie, which bugged me a little bit because people were saying it was groundbreaking. And I thought the effects were cool. But my biggest gripe, like one of those things that was just kind of grinding me in the background, was they have these boxy robots.
Right.
And you know, with treads and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, they had the technology for the floaty little iMac robot with the laser guns that could, like, dissolve everything. That seems like that would have saved Wall-E an awful lot of trouble if he had laser guns that he could just dissolve everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Well, I mean, it's like the iTouch comparatively to the original iPod. I mean, one came first before the other.
But
it would have created probes at the same time. So theoretically, these robots were being left to clean up the planet, and the ship was taking off at the same time, and that's it for technological development. Theoretically, right. It all happened at the same time.
Because unless they had scientists working for a couple generations on the ship and then just gave up, which I doubt. The way they were shoving crap out the back door, you know, all their material out the back door, I doubt that would even make a difference.
And is gathering all the garbage and putting it in cubes and piling it around buildings really the most efficient way to do it?
Well, that's why the last message was, it's not working. Don't come back.
Yeah. Like maybe a bulldozer might work a little bit better.
Hey, on a side note, you know, Disney is part of Pixar's Disney together now. I just saw Bolt today, and that was actually a pretty good movie. And that was pure Disney. There was no Pixar in that. That was a Disney 3D.
My friend actually worked on that. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, it was as good as a Pixar, I think.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't know. I think to say what Chuck was saying earlier, I mean, people say it was a groundbreaking movie. In terms of animation by a studio system, it is a groundbreaking movie.
Oh, sure.
Because how many movies out there do you see that have 15 minutes of it's just actual acting by the animators? I mean,
right, there's no,
you know,
talking at all.
Right. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, I because of that, I think I was a little let down by the ending. I thought Wally should have died. I mean, I hate to say that. I'm not even so down about
it. No, I agree, because what technology was there? Where was he backed up? You know, it wasn't like it added too much of a spiritual.
Right, and that's what I was saying earlier. It's sort of like almost like a weird Christ-like thing. But see, I think that ruined it from being a sci-fi, you know, an actual sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It became typical Pixar. And again, my friend Jimmy says the same thing about the movie. Like, I totally knew the robot was going to be fine at the end. I'm like, really? See, like, at first I would think that too, but after the first 15 minutes, I guess that threw me off for just a second. And then after I realized, looking back, I'm like, no, he's right.
If it was a typical Disney, though, what would happen is at the end you'd have Eva and Wally together walking along, and behind them would be kind of like a couple of half Eve, half Wally robots, and the last little robot looking just like Wally, you know, kind of like a Lady of the Tramp thing.
Oh god,
that would have been horrible.
Hey, at least we're talking about animated stuff still, so it's kind of like webcomics, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what's his name? Chris Saunders has that webcomic. What's it called? Toodaloo? No, that's not it.
Kiskaloo, yeah, the guy that did the some of the art for Lilo and Stitch, yes.
Yeah, he was the one that actually designed Beast for Beauty and the Beast. I mean, he's been with Disney since, oh my god, so forever. Yeah. I think he's working on Monsters and Aliens right now.
I'm not feeling that movie. I'm not feeling
feeling it either, and I saw a new trailer of it in 3D. It was like actually extended. It showed a lot more, not just the simple DreamWorks trailer. It actually showed character stuff. I'm a little intrigued about the movie now. Because usually DreamWorks movies for me are just, they're all pop culture jokes,
yeah,
which won't last in 5 years, and they usually suck. And then, so that actually surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm not.
Can we complain about Watchmen here?
I haven't seen it yet. I need to. I've heard it.
Oh, really?
You're not happy with it?
It was good.
You know, it was good-ish. I didn't know what the film was until I was talking to my friends about it today. I didn't realize it was directed by the guy who did 300, which, of course, is the worst film ever created.
Yeah.
And it puts everything clear for me now. It's like, oh, that's what it was. It was overuse of slow motion and overuse of it felt like it took forever to get through it. I think they did a fairly good version of the book, but it was like, first of all, way more violent, and I don't see what the need was for that.
Yeah.
And but of course, you know, I'm an old man, so I guess the young people want that. The young kids like that kind of stuff. But knowing that it was by the guy with 300 who went out of his way to make things is in fast motion and all that kind of stuff. It kind of makes more sense for me now. It's like,
but did you enjoy the movie? I mean, without the critical, I know you're a pretty big fan of the graphic novel, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm actually rereading the graphic novel, and I'll tell you, it has been improved on over the years with other stories. You know, it has some real bad spots in it that I never remembered. You know, it's like not until really rereading it that you're like, oh yeah. Yeah, it's got a couple flat spots, and ooh, they went out of their way here to make this crazy, you know, tangent. But the editor says he never edited Alan Moore's work, because who could edit Alan Moore's work?
And it's like, somebody could have.
A little bit of editing. But I think they could have made this movie a lot tighter, and there's no reason it has to be 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's my opinion.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I thought the music actually gelled well with the film, but they totally could have lost that sex scene.
Oh my God.
I've heard a lot about that. If I remember correctly.
You know, if you look at the comic to the movie, I mean, as Chuck was saying, it looks exactly sort of like it, but then you're just like, they're playing Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, and it just feels very weird.
No, that was Leonard Cohen, wasn't it? Well, it was Leonard Cohen.
I thought it was Jeff Buckley.
This is the scene from the book with Dr. Manhattan, right? The theme of the book with Dr.
No? Be the owl and
okay.
The owl with Silk Spectre and the owl flying.
I mean, they sort of show a little bit of the Silk Spectre, Dr. Manhattan. There's like four versions of him or something. And
Right. Well, don't spoil nothing, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, have you not read the book?
I have read the book, but I have not seen the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
So I know basically.
It's close to the, I'd be interested in hearing what you think of the ending, because they should change.
The ending was changed, but from what I've heard, what I've read, the ending kind of makes more sense than the ending in the book, or something along those lines.
Oh, you're just listening to Harab. You're just because George Harab said he liked it.
No, he is one of my references that I'm. Yes, but yeah, sure, I'll go with that. Isn't he great? Let's take a minute to thank Mr. George Harab for continuing to do his podcast, because that man's just brilliant. But anyway.
That is really good. Hey, you know what I was listening to? You know what I was listening to yesterday?
What's that?
I was listening to this show called Bells in the Bat Free.
Isn't that great?
And they were walking around through podcast to podcast. And they didn't mention your manatee fountain. They didn't mention your manatee fountain. So
I know. The manatee fountain is actually in the courtyard in the back. You really can't see it from the front.
And you didn't let him in past the front door.
No, we wouldn't let him. We wouldn't let him in. But what he is referencing.
Cool. Nice job.
Thanks. John Bell from Bells in the Bat Free put out a call to podcasters that he wanted to do a thing where his podcasting studio got disintegrated or dissolved, I guess. And he wanted to go try to find a place to. So he went from podcast to podcast looking for a place to stay. And we got together with the guys from Technorama, again, Craig Stepp from Technorama. He let us know what he did. And so Scott and I did a riff off of that. And John Bell put it all together, and he does a great job with it. Check it out at thebatfree.com. It's one of the most entertaining podcasts out there. If anybody should be making money podcasting, it's that guy.
And he's not even trying, right?
He's amazing. He is a professional radio guy. Yeah. You know, he does, you know, ads and stuff.
No, I mean, he's not trying to make money with it, right?
Not really. No. He does have a store where you can buy like shirts and stuff, but it's just got the, you know, his logo. It's not like it's anything. He's not charging for anything, but he's just it's a funny show. My kids love it.
He really puts an entertaining thing together. It really is funny.
Very, very, very.
And family safe.
Yes, and family friendly. Good stuff. All right, we are coming up on the hour now. Is there anything else you guys want to mention before I close this out and call it a lazy Gigcast week?
Address with
spoons. What's that? Somebody wanted to say something. Who was it?
I just said Webcomics Weekend. Woo.
Woo. Okay, yeah. Webcomics Weekend is coming up, so if you're listening to this and they're going to Webcomics Weekend, if this is out before Webcomics Weekend, which it should be because there really isn't any editing to do, have fun. And feel free to...
We should swear a lot right now, so you have to edit, right?
It's not the end. I'll just cut it short now.
Cut it.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, whatever. It's all good. All right. Well, what's that? Oh, kissclue.com. That's it. I'm just taking a quick look at the chat room, see if anybody mentioned anything. Oh, there's all kinds of links in here. They don't save. There should be a way to save these chats. Is there a way? I don't
know. Copy and paste?
Well, yeah, but...
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, yes.
If the iPhone can't copy and paste, why should I?
Because you're superior to the iPhone.
I don't know.
Darth Skeptical says, yes, there is.
There is a way to
do it. I don't know what he was saying. Yes, there is.
If he's going to say copy and paste.
He's saying yes, there is to something that was said a minute ago.
No, he's probably saying copy and paste. I'm looking on the. I don't see any buttons that say save. Anything. Whatever. Okay, well, anyway, let's just say I'm going to say thank you for joining in, the people that are here. Of course, we have Katie Skakowski from ThinkSync. We've got Mark Meckes from Zortik.com. We've got Nick Nitro from Dribble for Kids. That's forkids.com. Chuck Rolls from Guards of Arcalon at rmcomics.com. Dungeon Warden from, isn't it a legend? Dungeon Warden, what's your comic again? I know it's Legend something or... Dungeon
Legacy.
Dungeon Legacy. I know there's an L in there. DungeonLegacy.com. And of course, Axonite, otherwise known as the guy who does Station V3. And also on that other Podwarp 1999 podcast. And Festworks from the webcomic Beacon. I mean, we should get together and take over the webcomic podcasting world.
Except it doesn't make any money, so it's not worth it.
Exactly. There's no money in it. That's good. I'll keep hoping.
Bye.
Anika Jim Thorpe from StuckerBoys.com. Thank you, Jim. I just jumped over you. Sketch Samurai is on, of course, still on DeviantArt. You. No problem, Jim. Thanks for listening. All right. This is JT Schaefer, everybody here at Night Geek Studios and the Geekcast. For Scott, who can't be here, check him out at... MadScottComic.com, now with noses, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, really?
Yes. I haven't
been there last month or so.
I don't know if it'll stick, but we've got noses now. And I need to make the t-shirts that he has me wearing in that shit.
He must have a big glasses joke coming up.
I'll have to ask him. I'd like to thank Beatnik Turtle for the music and everything else. So, by the way, the new Beatnik Turtles album is coming out. I actually play ukulele on one of the tracks there, so keep an ear out for that.
Hey!
Hey?
Yeah.
Hey, what?
You're big time now.
I am. Recording star. That's right. All right, folks. Again, this is J.T. Schaefer, everybody here at Night Geek Studios and the Geekcast. And until next week, have a great week, webcomics weekend, and enjoy your webcomics.
This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.
Oh, that's great. Was that like 6 minutes ago?